Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about the prevalence of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, how often it's occurring in the general population, especially here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's, as we talked about yesterday, OCD was once sort of housed within the broad category of anxiety-related disorders, right. And that would have kind of thrown it in there with that. What was it, something like 30% of people experienced an anxiety-related disorder at some point in their life. But now OCD is removed from that, but the prevalence is still pretty high.
Pretty high. It's been around. One of the interesting things about OCD is that the diagnosis has been around for about 300 years,
yeah.
And I didn't know that. So we're going all the way back to the 1800s, 1700s, and didn't realize that. But it's changed over time,
mm-hmm.
where how we conceptualize it and how we look at it. But it's not particularly new. It's not a new diagnosis,
right.
By any means. But the most recent organizational structure, how we conceptualize it clinically, is now it's its own category. They've taken it out of the anxiety disorders, made it its own category. We're going to be talking about that later this week.
Right.
Because those... The disorders related to OCD,
right,
were always a little bit tricky. You know,
right.
How do we treat them? How do we think about them? So I think it's DSM-5 is an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I mean, at least clinically, I like it better.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit neater to have OCD in its own category, but it changes the prevalence a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of how it's because it's a separate category,
right.
And then several of the things that you might have put under OCD, you don't anymore.
Right.
So it went down a little bit. But it's still, it's higher, prevalence rates are higher than schizophrenia, bipolar,
mm-hmm.
and some other disorders that we think
right.
of as being very common.
Right.
And OCD is actually more common than they are.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So, and one of the challenges anytime you're going to talk about prevalence is mm-hmm. when, where does the data come from?
That's right. How do you know?
Right.
Right.
And so a lot of the data that we, found was from, looked like really good, solid data, but it was from about almost 20 years ago.
That was the other surprise, is that
mm-hmm.
most of the data are based on
like
studies that
2000s.
Were done in the early 2000s.
Right. From the early 2000s, we found some from 2010.
Right.
But
they're
all
recent.
Pretty consistent. And so we're posting a link to Understanding OCD, the website Understanding OCD.
Right.
That has some facts and figures there.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty consistently, it suggests that the prevalence of OCD in the overall
mm-hmm.
is about 2.3% of the population.
Right. That recurs over and
mm-hmm.
over again, about 2.3%.
Right. Now, just as a point of reference, bipolar disorder, type 1 bipolar disorder, that classic bipolar disorder, mm-hmm. Occurs in about 1% of the population.
Has bipolar disorder.
Right, bipolar disorder.
1%.
It's about 1% right. of the population. There's a bipolar spectrum disorder
mm-hmm.
that we'll talk about that some other time. But so OCD, a lot of people will say, oh, well, I'm bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about bipolar in very casual ways. But here we have OCD that occurs twice as...
More than twice as... Almost
twice as often.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So OCD in the general population is about 2.3% of the population.
Right.
I think that estimates, according to the website there, 3.3 million people.
That's right. And we're talking about ages 15 to 54 approximately,
right?
So we're talking about teenagers and through about age 54 because
right.
that's the population,
right?
That's the adult population. And it's about, what did it say, 3.3 million?
3.3 million people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, there are some statistics as it relates to juveniles, pediatric-related
right.
OCD, and pediatrics, the prevalence rates
range somewhere from 0.3% to 1%.
That's right.
But then it's right around 2% in just the adult population.
Right.
So it's, you know, the rates, again, sort of vary depending on where you're getting the information from. And but still, it's a pretty common condition.
Right. And it does appear, as many conditions do, it does appear in adolescence.
Right.
Usually when I talk to people, they'll say, yes, I remember I was about 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are cases as early as a year or two.
Right.
Where kids start to show these tendencies.
Right.
Now, it's difficult before age six,
mm-hmm.
Because you need language abilities to keep, mm-hmm. to explain it and to keep
right.
repeating it and to be insistent that
right.
you need things a certain way. So it's pretty hard before age six, but it certainly is something that begins to emerge during childhood and especially during adolescence.
Right. Right. Yeah. I recently saw a little one, a patient who's early elementary school years, right. Kindergarten, first or second or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but he has a lot of symptoms of OCD, but as you just said, it's really difficult to understand it because mm-hmm. his cognitive and
right.
insight is what I always refer
insight.
To it.
Right.
His insight into the symptoms and the drives for it is so
limited.
Still young,
right.
Because it's developmentally appropriate, but it's still so young that it's difficult to really get a good handle on what's going on.
And parents will frequently ask, should they do something about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess our advice is always, if it's not causing a problem,
mm-hmm.
what do we mean by causing a problem?
Right.
Well, if a child isn't missing out on things,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then it's probably not a problem yet.
Right.
Although we're encouraged to intervene as early
right.
as possible to prevent a child from missing out on things.
Right.
Okay. So I think that's the important variables is your child. For example, kids who refuse to go to school
mm-hmm.
or they're so obsessed with things that they limit their life to
mm-hmm.
doing one or two things. When it begins to become an impairment.
Right.
That's what we always look at impairment. When it begins to limit a child's experiences, the
mm-hmm.
normal things a kid should do, then you should probably think about intervention.
Right. And I think that that's a really important point that we will kind of emphasize mm-hmm. throughout the rest of the week. And that is, you know, when it comes to some of these early life experiences,
right.
because, you know, anywhere from a third to a half of
that's
people,
right.
all people with OCD say that they, that there are some roots in childhood.
They can recall.
It's important for parents, you know, if you have that child that's very rigid and
mm-hmm.
very, you know, has to have things the same way, it's important from a therapeutic perspective
right.
and in a very therapeutic way to work to build in some of that flexibility just to sort of battle against some of those intrinsic drives to be rigid and routine. You have to build in some flexibility.
You know, frequently.
Gently, though, but you
yeah.
build it in.
Right. And we've heard stories about there are children who need to have things a certain
mm-hmm.
way, and they're so insistent that they can't have friends.
Right.
Okay. That becomes an impairing condition.
Right.
I mean, that's a cause for concern.
Right.
There are kids who can't go to school because they have to have, or they'll eat a couple of different kinds of foods, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you have to start intervening because
right.
they're going to start missing out on normal developmental experiences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the, you know, as it relates to the prevalence, what we're talking about today,
right.
It's relatively common,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so if you, you know, if you think about the broad scheme of things, about 2% of the population or so, just over 2%.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who truly suffer from OCD. And this isn't just obsessions or, you know, sort of obsessive tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even really talking about obsessive compulsive personality disorder. This is
right.
just, this is strictly the disorder itself. You know, it's there's a lot of people with it.
Mm-hmm.
So be mindful of that.
Right, right. Be aware of it and intervene early.
Right.
And watch your teenagers because frequently this emerges
right.
full-blown
right.
In the teenage around 13, 14, 15
yeah.
is when it really reveals itself.
Right. And there's some interesting causes associated with OCD that we're going to talk about tomorrow.
Right.
And I'm very excited about that because
yeah.
We have some friends who are doing some research in this area, and so it's going to be great to talk about that. So before we go for the day, we have been trying to remind everyone for the last week or so about the Coming Out of the Darkness, a Concert of Hope event that will be at Theater Winter Haven on Thursday, May 24th, just in a couple of days, at 7:30 p.m. The event is all about suicide prevention awareness. Proceeds are going to go to the Peace River Center, which is a local community mental health agency, as well as the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. It's like a great program. If you're interested in getting any more information, go to theaterwinterhaven.com. That's T-H-E-A-T-R-E, winterhaven.com, and contact them, and they'll be able to give you some more details.
All right. Yep. Looking forward to that.
All right. That is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.